Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, Site Visibility have another piece of shameless self-promotion because they've just released their 2020 PPC automation guide. It's completely free to download. It will help you get started with each of the new automation settings within Google Ads. Now, this includes smart bidding, responsive ad testing, dynamic research ads, and more. The best way to accelerate your PPC growth in 2020 is to start planning today. So download your guide for free at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. I'll say that again. bit.ly, bit.ly/PPC-automation-guide. And for those that don't know, a hyphen is another word for a dash. It might be a Britishism, I don't know. Now today I'm joined by Kevin Gibbons, speaker, writer, UK Search Personality 2018, and founder and CEO of ReSignal. Kevin, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Very good, thanks.
Good. Now you're up in London, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Which is thousands of miles away. No, it's not really. I'm in Brighton, so London's only about, 50 or 60 miles as a crow flies, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about an hour on train, I think, but yeah, very close.
And I won't bother asking you what the weather is, because it's probably the same as down here, Brighton. Cold but sunny.
Yeah, exactly. It's I had a very cold run just before this, so...
Did you?
But yeah, it's a nice day.
I've recently got into running myself, actually. I've not run for a while, and I've got back into it. I forgot how nice it was, actually. Anyway, less of running, otherwise this is becoming a health and fitness podcast and a weather podcast. Now, let's stick to internet marketing. So, usual start-off question. Tell us a little bit about yourself and ReSignal, and perhaps how you got started.
Yeah, sure. So, I've been doing SEO myself since 2003, starting at a web design agency as a student and learning about SEO from that stage all the way through to founding an agency in 2006 called SEO Optimize, which is based in Oxford, and in 2012 moving to London and focusing more around a content marketing based approach for our clients and the agency has become ReSignal, which we rebranded last year. So, the journey has essentially started 16 years ago now in terms of SEO, but evolved a lot along the way, as you can imagine, in such a fast-paced industry.
Mm. And I assume you've always been in London?
Only for the last 7 years. Ah. So before that, I was in Oxford.
Oh, you did mention that, yes. I like your branding, actually, because I like the way you've got your, when you do ReSignal, when you write ReSignal, it's RE and then a colon and then signal. What was the inspiration behind that?
Honestly, we had a brand consultant that helped us, and I think he was, I've admitted by this stage I'm terrible at coming up with brand ideas, but I quite liked the way, we're a creative agency and a lot of things that we do, and it just stood out and appeared different. And also, a lot of what we do is about how we communicate with our clients, and the RE and colon is also from the email in terms of a reply. So it's trying to get across the fact that actually what we're doing is we're communicating with people and we're making things happen, essentially.
Brilliant. So I'll save the juicy bit till a bit later because I want to talk about your sort of SEO strategy, if I can say the word properly, strategy-driven approach. But before that, I just wanted to talk a little bit more generally about, I suppose, focusing. If you're an agency, this whole thing about focusing on certain areas or specialisms, if you like. Let's talk about that for a bit.
I feel like I've gone this about this potentially in the wrong way. I would say actually when I started, I was very focused on SEO. I then got into paid search because I was running my own websites. And I think this is always a good experience at first to probably try and understand a bit of everything. So I've actually found by running my own business, by running affiliate sites, the one thing that I have as a skill now is being quite commercially driven, because I understand that you need to make money in order to stay alive, essentially, in a business sense. And that applies to our clients. So the more that I can understand about the different drivers of growth from a revenue and a profit perspective, the more I can apply that to the clients that we work with. And I think specializing has come in a roundabout way. I think at first, certainly being based in Oxford, we worked with a mix of kind of locally Oxfordshire-based clients and some London-based kind of national or even global clients. And I think what I found is when we worked with the local ones, we were straight away adding on different services. So they would ask us, can we do paid search? Can we do social media, et cetera? And I think back then we were actually very good at it. I think I'm not even sure looking back if I would say that was the wrong thing to do. I think it potentially was the right thing to do. I think the challenge has been the game has changed a lot in that time, and SEO in itself as a discipline is probably not a job role anymore, as in there's too many skill sets or subsets of SEO itself. And what I found is in growing an agency, we found that we've grown quicker by doing less, but doing it better. So we still have awareness around the other services that we used to do in the past, but we have partners that we can refer people to because we know that they're going to someone that specializes more in that. And from our perspective, we can get more of the work that we're truly passionate about. And my passion has always been SEO. I think the team that we have, we've traditionally always been stronger at SEO, and I've never wanted to be kind of risking the agency reputation by being good at everything but great at nothing. So in the end, trying to really kind of focus down on having a strategy-driven approach to our SEO and our content marketing has benefited our clients, and it's allowed us to differentiate ourselves a little bit as well in terms of the clients that we're working with.
Yeah. Interesting, actually, because you mentioned that in the early days you were sort of you'd get your first clients, which is always exciting, because I remember with my business it was always very exciting when you get your first few clients, but then they start asking you to do things that you're not really comfortable with. Do you think that's quite a common thing?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think from a client perspective, as much as specialist agencies have done very well, they would always rather work with less people who can do more, but you have to deliver that quality. And I'm not saying that there's no agencies can do that. I'm sure they can, but certainly for an agency that is a small to medium size, I think it can be a struggle to try and do too much. And sometimes you can let yourself down by not being top of your game in some areas, but adding on additional revenue streams that, again, you need to weigh it up, I guess, from a business sense. But for me, the approach has always been striving for excellence and doing that within a focused area is possible. Trying to do that for everything is you're essentially kind of almost spreading yourself too thin and firefighting, I think, certainly in my experience.
And then you mentioned that you started to outsource some of these areas that you didn't want to specialize in so much. That must be quite hard. I mean, what advice would you give to people or companies that are in their early stages and they're thinking of doing that? What should be going through their heads?
I think for me, it's just understanding what it is that you're really passionate about and actually thinking further ahead. So I spent a lot of time kind of, again, like reading, studying, more from a business sense. And a lot of it is planning about where you really want to be. And I've always been passionate about working with kind of larger brands, or at least ambitious brands that really want to grow. And my view is, rather than trying to do everything for them, I think just picking that one thing that you can do that's potentially better than anyone else in the world, if you have a narrow enough focus behind what you're doing, I think that's achievable. For us, rather than outsourcing, it's more we have partnerships. So if we get a request for paid search, we know who's good. We can recommend a number of different agencies, for example, and normally they're kind of specialized in that as well. So when they get asked for SEO, it kind of comes back our way. So it's one of those that they get the stuff that they're more suited for, and we turn away potential revenue, but actually we get back some that we're more suited for ourselves. So actually, I think it's a win-win relationship.
I was going to use the win-win phrase, but I was trying to refrain. Yeah. It's obviously worked well for you though, hasn't it? This specialization approach. I mean, you've won a lot of awards, haven't you? Search awards.
Search awards in particular, we've done very well for, and we've gone through, and again, this is part of the whole specialization and focusing approach of, we, a couple of years ago, actually longer than that, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I think we were very strong from an agency reputation external perspective, but we were perhaps weaker than we should have been internally. And what we did is we scrapped our marketing budget. We stopped speaking at conferences, blogging, doing all of the stuff that, honestly, I think that stuff is great. I'm not against it at all. But it shouldn't come at the sacrifice of doing great work for your clients. That's what you're there to do. That's what you're paid for. And it's got to be core to what we're doing. And awards were a very nice extension to that, because my view has always been, if you do good work for a client, you'll retain them and you'll continue working with them. There's a good chance that you'll grow with them, because what you're doing is working and they want to spend their money where it's working best from an investment perspective. And doing good work leads into referrals, case studies. And then once you have that, award entries, and if selected, award wins, which becomes a very nice marketing piece, because people then understand or get awareness for you for doing high quality work, which I think is, in my experience, again, I think it's been the best way to grow the agency, is off the back of having happy clients that you're doing great work for.
Yeah. So let's move on to your strategy, because I've got a phrase in my head, but I might have it back to front. You can correct me if I've got it back to front. Sure. And it's like, you're taking sort of SEO strategy driven approach to content marketing, or have I got that back to front?
No, we have a strategy driven approach to content marketing. Yeah. For me, it's always strategy first. Yeah. I think sometimes people can get very excited by, this is a creative idea that's going to get you lots of press attention, et cetera. And we're very clear, we're not a PR agency. We're here to grow organic growth. And for us, in order to achieve that, we need to understand where the opportunity is first and foremost. So it's sometimes holding ourselves back from the stuff that might sound more exciting that you just want to rush ahead with, and bringing it back to, actually, why is it you're doing this in the first place? And are you facing the right direction before you start running, essentially?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So when a client comes to you, what's your general sort of approach? What are the steps you go through?
The big thing is understanding their goals. What is it that they're trying to achieve? Mm. And how can we help them to achieve those goals? Sometimes I have to challenge our clients on what that really means, because to me, there's a difference between a goal and a KPI. So what I mean by that is a KPI might be, let's publish more content, let's improve our rankings, let's generate a certain number of links, etc. They're all useful KPIs to show that you're going in the right direction, but it's not the business goal. The business goal is normally, how do you drive revenue, targeted leads? And from my perspective, the more that we can nail that from a business perspective, the more likely we are to succeed. Because ultimately, if let's say we're working with a client for, say, 6 to 12 months, and at the end of that agreement, we've done what we said we would do. We've generated them X amount of links, or increased traffic by X percent, et cetera. If it's not delivering business value, certainly at a time like this, where actually the economic climate is pretty tight for a lot of companies in terms of spending money. If you can't prove that what you're doing is making money as a return on investment, then you're likely to be at risk of being cut. So I think the big thing in terms of the initial starting point is actually, how do we understand what it is they're trying to achieve? What does the marketplace look like? And then shaping out, not just, I never like to jump in with the tactical, here's how you could improve X, Y, Z. It's more about shaping where it is that growth is going to come from. Is it a new market that they're entering? Is their market share available based on where they are right now versus competitors if they close the gap? It's trying to visualize in 12 months' time, what does success look like? And if you can have a clear vision of that, you can then work backwards to try and make that happen. If you don't, I feel like you're potentially just doing a lot of tactics, crossing your fingers and hoping it works, which in some cases it might, but it's not very strategic.
Do you think it's a common mistake that a lot of agencies make? They I'm trying to think of a good word. The word that's coming into my head is shallow. They take a shallow approach in that they just look at KPIs and sort of numbers, spreadsheets, rather than business objectives. Do you think this is a fairly common mistake that's made?
Yeah, and I think the whole industry in some ways has dug itself into a hole of everything we talk about publicly seems to be the more tactical stuff. And even to the point of, and again, not just saying kind of agencies, even accountancies, consultancies have fallen into this spiral of day rates, etc. And to me, it doesn't matter if someone's charging £100 or £2,000 a day. It matters about the result that you achieve at the end of it. So I think really it's how do you focus around what that opportunity is, and then if your targets are aligned and what you're spending is making you a very positive return in the revenue and the profit that you drive off the back of that, then it's worth the investment. But it's not just jumping into, okay, here's the tactical stuff. And I think it needs a certain level of seniority and experience in order to think that way. I'm not saying that you can't think of that without experience, but certainly when I think of myself, I, having had kind of 10 years plus of running a business, I'm in much better shape to have those types of conversations with clients now than I would have been certainly when I was getting started, or even potentially kind of 5 or 6 years ago. I feel like it's something that does develop over time.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that, actually, because you mentioned the entrepreneurial, obviously, you know, someone like yourself, you're an entrepreneur, you're used to building businesses, you're familiar with the sort of the pitfalls and the the shooting the white water rapids of business. So you're going to have a very business oriented results sort of type approach. Is it difficult to convey that down to, especially if you're perhaps a larger agency, do you think it's difficult to convey that down to your employees and your sort of hierarchy of people that operate your mechanism in your business?
Yeah, it is. And I've tried recently to be just a lot more kind of transparent with numbers, because the more that they can understand about our performance as a business, the more they can understand about firstly how they can help us, but secondly, having more of a commercial mindset when it comes to our clients. So yeah, even in the way of thinking that stuff that may sound obvious, but it is not if you don't look at it. But there's clearly a massive difference between driving revenue and driving profit. So we've had clients in the past where we might have increased. There's one in particular I can think of that is a retailer, like luxury furniture retailer. And if we were to drive a massive increase in sales for pillows, for example, that's clearly not going to generate the same level of profit as it would if we were to sell sofas. So it's trying to have a look behind not just how do we get traffic, how do we get bookings and orders, but how do you drive revenue and then profitable growth underneath that. And I think being transparent with the team and trying to get them focused on the numbers that matter really help. Also, I'm quite heavily involved in the initial strategies for a lot of our clients for that reason, even if it's just trying to set the framework and sign off on this is our approach and kind of supporting and challenging our team. I feel like that's where my potentially more business focused mindset can be different to, we've certainly got people in our team that I'm quite confident they're better than me at the day-to-day in terms of whether that's technical SEO, creative content marketing, digital PR. The key thing that I think brings it all together is just having that business mindset. So if you know that your strategy is focused around the business goals of our clients, that's where the real success starts to happen, because otherwise everyone in their own, say, individual silos can potentially do a good job against KPIs, but it's really how do you bring it back to the bigger picture, and that's what's key for me.
Yeah, it's a bit like orchestration, isn't it? Like a conductor at the conducting an orchestra.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You need everyone to play their part and to be as strong as possible at what they're doing, but it needs to have more of a purpose collectively.
Well, thanks so much for coming on today and your knowledge. If there was one top tip or a key takeaway for our audience today, Kevin, what do you think it would be from this?
I think it depends on the audience as well. But I think if you're from a client side, perhaps it's looking at how do you find people that can support you from a business sense, who's going to help you to achieve your goals. And again, that could be whether it's an internal team or an agency. And I think even just thinking about my own journey of building an agency, for me, the big thing is specialized. Try and think about, I always like the phrase, go an inch wide and a mile deep. How do you try and get that deep expertise in one area? And if you can do that better than anyone else, I think there'll always be a place for even in harder times, I think there'll always be a place for people that are seeking out your expertise, because if you're the expert in that space, then you will do very well. So don't be afraid of niching, which I think is often a fear. If you're turning away clients, that feels counterintuitive. Yeah. But actually, if you're becoming more focused and specialized, then you can ultimately attract more targeted people. And I would argue that you could fast track your growth by doing less, but doing it better.
Well, Kevin, thanks so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about Resignal?
So our website's resignal.com. So you can find out more about the agency from there. For myself, I'm quite active on social media. Twitter is at Kev Gibbo, or just find me on LinkedIn just by searching for my name. And happy to connect. And if anyone's got any questions following this podcast, I'm more than open to helping out. So I would say the best way would be to connect with me on one of those social channels.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And thank you for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review so that we know how we're doing. Questions and suggestions. The email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at sitevisibility. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Kevin.
Perfect. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for coming on, Kevin. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.